And that's our theme for 2018, is keeping in step with Jesus, walking with Jesus. I trust that you are endeavoring every day to walk with Jesus and to spend time with Him and go about, even after you're done with that devotion time, to go ahead and go through it with Him, taking time with Him and being close to Him in your mind and your thoughts and in your actions and spending time in the Word, getting things, obstacles out, confessing sin. Trust that you are endeavoring to walk with Jesus. Well, this morning we go back to John. It's been a while since we've been in the Gospel of John. John chapter 16 is coming to a close, about ready to go into the great prayer that Jesus Christ has for us. He has spent so much time giving Himself to these 12 and 11 disciples, and has shown Himself strong to them. But a neat kind of focal point that we get to in chapter 17 is when Jesus Christ is going to spend time praying for you specifically. You maybe never knew that, but that John chapter 17, that Jesus prays for you, but He does. Just short of your name, but He prays for you. He prays for us, that we would, that we could be close to Him and know His goodness and know His person. So, anyway, we are here in John chapter 16, and we've been looking at the heart of Christ. Our series is entitled "The Heart of Christ," and we've looking at His love for us, and specifically here in these five chapters, His love for the disciples. We're looking at John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. We have five chapters, and you say, boy, long chapters, so much in those chapters. But I'll tell you, the time frame of these five chapters is only just a little bit of time. You know, it's probably just a few hours, and he's only a few hours after that where He's going to be delivered up before the Sanhedrin. He's going to be put on trial before the Jews, and they are going to shout out, "Crucify Him!" And He would be delivered to the cross, and He would go to the cross, and He would willingly die on the cross for your and my sin. We're just within hours of this time. Who does it seem needed the help and the encouragement right now? Who would it seem needed the encouragement? Jesus, right? I mean, He's about ready to go and deliver Himself over to be crucified on the cross. What a horrible thing physically. But on top of that, He is going to, the burden and the weight of sin of the entire world is going to be laid upon His shoulders. My friends, I want to tell you something. You might be afraid of going to the cross physically, but I don't think that that compared anything with the weight of sin on Jesus Christ's shoulders when He went to the cross. I know what sin feels like on my own shoulders for a little bit of time before I get it confessed, and I'm miserable. Can you imagine what Jesus Christ felt when the weight of the entire world was upon His shoulders? And all He could help but say was, you know, he turned to His Father, you know, and asked, you know, why do you turn your back? How do you turn your back on me? You've forsaken me. You see, the Father could not look upon His precious Son with a sin there. He couldn't do it. And He felt forsaken. How could Jesus go do that? If anybody needs encouragement right now, it's Jesus Christ. But you know what? Jesus Christ is living His life for these men. Folks, Jesus Christ is living His life for you. And here we see the heart of Christ. Now, we don't have time this morning to go all through what Jesus had given, how He had given His heart. But I'm going to tell you something. Those scared disciples that didn't know about how they were going to make it another day, how they were going to make it in the future, how they were going to make it. And Jesus is telling them, by the way, He had been telling them along the way that He was going to die. He had been telling them that He was going to go. They didn't understand it. They didn't understand how to even process that through their mind. And here again in these chapters, He says, "I'm going to go away." And the disciples' thoughts are, "You're going to go away? You're going to leave us? Who are we going to have? How are we going to make it through?" But Jesus continues to give them more. He says, I'm going to go away, and yes, I'm going to come again, but I'm going to send you out to the world. They're going to hate you, and you're going to go out there to be ambassadors, hopefully to share them with Jesus Christ so that they can trust him, so they can be added to his children, so they can be added along with Jesus Christ there and be added in his family. And then you're going to disciple them so that they can learn. And by the way, did the disciples fulfill this great commission and go out and see God do great work in their lives? Yeah, they did it. They went out there, and it wasn't because of some great faith of 11 men. It was because of the power of God and the person of Jesus Christ that was with them all through the time. You see, Jesus never left them one moment. He would be with them all the time, and the Holy Spirit would be with them as well. They had the strength and power of God with them, and they could do all things that he asked them to do. We simply and willingly need to be surrendered to whatever God has for us to do. And God will do that impossibility with us in our lives. Well, Jesus has been given in chapter 16 more things about how they're going to struggle, how they're going to fear, and he's trying to give them hope and help and comfort. He's telling them about the Holy Spirit that's going to be with them. I want you to look at this this setting, though. And John chapter 16, let's look at verse 19. Well, let's back up just a little bit. Let's hear the question. Jesus has been talking for quite a while now. And I want you to look at verse 17, chapter 16, verse 17, and see what was going on through their minds while Jesus was speaking. Oh, those disciples. Then some of his disciples among themselves. Now, remember, what has Jesus Christ just been giving them? Here's what you got to do, but here's how I'm going to help you. He's been giving them over and over how he's going to help them. I'm going to help you, I'm going to help you, I'm going to help you, I'm going to help you. And then here's what the disciples are thinking. He then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. They were hard to understand what Jesus was saying. I'm going and I'm coming back. I'll be gone for a little while, but I'll be back in a little while. They just cannot comprehend that. You know, I identify with the disciples so much. Sometimes I just don't understand, you know, the way it is. But you know what? Jesus doesn't want to keep them in the dark. He wants them to know the truth. And he's about to give them the truth. So he could tell that they were struggling. How is this going to be? We want to believe you, Christ, but we're having problems. I think of the verse that says, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. God, I want to believe. Christ, I want to believe what you're saying here, but how? How can I know the way? How can we know that you are going to come? I think of the song, Does Jesus Care? You know, the song we have in our hymnals. The song, Does Jesus Care? And what does the chorus come back to? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. He does care. He does care. Grab your hymnals really quickly and let's go there. And I don't even know what... Oh, yeah, I did find it. 491. I forgot that I did that. I did find it. 491. Does Jesus care? Let me ask you a question this morning. Does Jesus care about what you're going through? Yeah, I know you know in truth that he cares. Do you feel that care? Do you know he cares? The song says, does Jesus care? This is 491. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained to deeply from earth and song? As the burdens press and cares distress, and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. Verse 2, does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong, when for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? My sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he see? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Do you think that Jesus cared about the disciples and what they were going through? He did and He does. Did you catch that? He did and He does to you. You might be tempted to say, does Jesus care what I'm going through? You know the answer is yes, but let's see the answer. Yes. Look at verse 19. So the disciples are there. Now notice, verse 17, and some of His disciples, they said among themselves. It's almost as if they had separated from, you know, Jesus had been talking and they were there in a little group kind of on the side, and I don't know exactly what Jesus was doing. He's been talking, He's been giving this discourse for quite a while now. And it's like the disciples got kind of quiet. Was Jesus getting a drink or talking with one of them? I don't know exactly what's going on, but it's almost as if they got in their own little group there and they began to talk and quietly say, what does He mean that He's going to leave and go away for a little while and then He's going to come back? I don't know if it within themselves means that Jesus was right there in the circle with them. I don't know if it means that He was a little bit ways away. I don't know. And the Scriptures doesn't say. What it says is, then said some of his disciples among themselves. I tend to think that it seems like they were a part of just a little bit because it says among themselves, what is this that He saith unto us? It seems like if Jesus was standing there, they would have said, Jesus, what do you mean? So they're there in their little group, they're saying, what does He mean when he says this? I want you to see, first of all, verse 19. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask Him. He knew. The first point I want you to see this morning is Jesus knows our trials. He knows what we're going through. He knew what was going on. Did He hear physically with His ear? But He knew. The Scripture does not say that He heard them, although He might have. He had a physical body, just like you do and I do. Doesn't say that He knew, doesn't say that He saw, or excuse me, doesn't say that He heard, doesn't say that He saw. It says what? He knew. Looks, that's significant because you can understand that Jesus does know what you're going through. Jesus knows the hard trial that you're facing. Jesus knows the struggle that you're going through. He knows. He knows. He knows. Jesus knows. Let's take a little bit of a journey through some Scripture and find out that Jesus does know you. You might think you're alone. You might think that no one knows. We've been talking a lot about this recently. God, for some reason, is bringing us back to some similar thoughts. But go to Psalm 139. Again, one of my favorite passages that I take you to quite often, because I find myself there very often. Psalm 139 is a passage that talks to us about how much God is close to us. Psalm 139. I want you to look at we're just going to look at the first four verses. I want you to see something very important here about God. David here is speaking in Psalm 139. David is going through a tough time in his life. And notice what he says. Psalm 139, first four verses. O Lord, Jehovah, that's the word there. O Lord, Jehovah, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. And he continues on in the next two verses. And what does David conclude there? How, I don't understand how wonderful your thoughts are for me. I don't understand how much you know me. Folks, we can look at this a million times, but we look at it again. God knows you. And I want you to understand when we look at the truth about trials, God knows your trial. He knows exactly what you're going through. We cannot look up at God and say, God, if you only understood and knew what I was going through. No, he does. Perfectly, he knows. You know, this passage tells us that he has searched us and he knows us. He knows when and how and why and what about when we sit down. He knows everything about when, where, and why and how we stand up. He goes on to say that you understand when my thoughts are afar off. Yes, God knows when you're daydreaming and when you're thinking about something else. You understand my thoughts when I'm a million miles away. God knows. God knows. He understands when my thoughts are afar off. He said, thou compasseth my path and my lying down. In other words, wherever I go, you know all of those things. Did you know that? God knows where you go, folks. God knows what you think about. God knows what you do. God knows where you go. God knows it all. Because God knows you. God knows you. God knows what you speak as well. In verse 4, there's not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Now, we can make a lot of applications here on how God knows you. It's convicting that God knows us so much that, boy, he knows my motivation sometimes. He knows what I do and what I say. He knows what I think. Oh, no, God knows me. You know, that's a little bit discouraging to think about that. But that's the point this morning was understanding Jesus' thoughts for us in the truth of trials. I want you to understand something, folks. When you're going through a deep, dark trial, when you feel like no one cares, Jesus does know and he does care. He knows every bit about your situation better than you do. He knows what you're going through. So, in general, he knows. Hebrews 4:13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And who's that referring to? God. That means there's not anything that is clothed enough that is hiding. You know what? In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve recognized their nakedness, God saw it. But you know, when they went and they clothed themselves in fig leaves, do you know that God could still see them just the same way? Isn't it amazing how we think that we can go in the darkness and hide and God doesn't see? Isn't it amazing we can go somewhere and we can look and act like a different person, yet God sees everything about us? There's nothing that we can do to escape God's knowledge of us. Yet we try to hide. We try to go to the dark. We try to be by ourselves and we think, I finally got to this place where no one sees me and no one knows me. And yet, there's God. There he is. I'm thankful that I can't get rid of him. But you know, in this case, you can't get rid of him. But folks, in your trials, praise the Lord, you can't get rid of him. He's there. And he knows. He knows. There is no creature that is manifest in his sight. And God can see everything. There's not a person who is hid from God. And yet he knows. All things are naked and open before him. God can see. God can see what you're going through. He knows us. He knows what is in us. He knows what is in us. In John chapter 2, if you would go back to the second chapter in this very same gospel, John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, notice that Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. You know that Jesus doesn't need anybody else telling him, well, let me introduce you to so-and-so. You know, when a person goes and gets counsel or they need help and you've got a friend that's able to take you there and they say, all right, sir, or all right, pastor, all right, teacher or preacher, whoever it is, let me introduce you to so-and-so. Let me tell you a little bit about their background. And for us humans, that's needful and that helps us, doesn't it? We don't know about everybody. You see somebody, can we be fooled by people's appearance? Yes. We cannot judge hearts. We don't know people. I can look at a person and I can say, wow, that person looks kind, and I can talk to them and I might find out a different thing. I might look at a person, and I have done this before, where I've said, boy, that person looks rough and tough and mean, and I don't know if I can speak any to them, and it's the nicest guy that you've ever met. We don't have the ability to really know by just looking at somebody what they're going to be like and who they're like. And I'll tell you what, I have misjudged people many times in my life for who they really are. And we can do that. We can misjudge. And so sometimes it takes somebody else to come to me and say, let me introduce you to this person so that you can know who they are. Folks, Jesus Christ doesn't need anybody to introduce us to him so that he knows you. He already knows everything about you. Why? In fact, Psalm 139 tells us later in the chapter, he was the one that made you. Well, folks, if he made you, then he obviously knows everything about you. Right? He knows you. He knows what's inside of you. Now, in reference to trials, let this be a comfort to you. Because sometimes your mind might torment you. Sometimes your thoughts, your emotions, or your physical, or your whatever comes inside of you, and you're scared, and you can't discern your own self, and you are struggling through things. I want to tell you the truth. I take pleasure in the fact that I know that God knows and understands what's going on inside of me. You know, you might not be able to discern what's going on inside somebody else that's sitting here today, but Jesus can. Jesus knows. Jesus knows that you showed up today with a smile on your face, but inside you're crying and your heart is weeping. He knows. And he knows why. And he knows how to fix it as well. Jesus knows. He knows who you are. He knows what is inside. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, quickly. Matthew 6, 8. Oh, he knows us. There's nothing that can hide us. He knows what is in us. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. Folks, he knows us and he knows what's in us and he knows our weaknesses and our needs. He knows where you're weak. He knows where you're weak. He knows that you're scared. He knows that what's going to be the thing that's going to scare you or bother you or struggle you. He knows what's going to tempt you. He knows all that stuff. He knows your inabilities. He knows those needs that you have. He knows. He knows. In a couple chapters later, Matthew chapter 9, we see that he knows our thoughts. Matthew 9, 4, and Jesus knowing their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking. Just like these disciples here. He knows. He knows our thoughts. And he says, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts to these wicked men? Why are you thinking? Folks, God knows what's going on inside of you. He knows those thoughts. Now, you might be there and you say, oh, God knows my wicked thoughts this morning. And he does, by the way. And because of the fact that God knows your thoughts, it ought to be time that you confess those thoughts and get them right. But that's not what we're talking about this morning. God knows your thoughts. God knows your struggles and the doubts and the fears that you're going through. And yet God knows. God knows. God knows better than you do what you're really going through. He knows. You know, we look in this passage, John chapter 16, verse 19, and the disciples are over here and they've got a struggle going on. Is it a real struggle? It is. You know, should they have known? Yeah, but they're just like us. They're humans. We don't know. And by the way, folks, they were going on, they were doing this with a whole lot less information than we have. They were struggling. What does he mean? I honestly think there is some anxiety with these men. He wants me to go do that. He's going to leave and he's going to go. What is he talking about? And Jesus over here, he knew what they were going through. You're not alone. He knows. Take comfort in the fact. The truth about trials is Jesus knows. Number two, the truth about trials is our trials. Well, let's read the verse. Look at verse 20. Well, let's go back to verse 19. Now, Jesus knew what they were desirous to ask him and said unto them. So he knew what they were going through. They hadn't asked yet. He knew it. So then he decides just to speak up. Do you inquire among yourselves that I said a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me? And then he says, verily, verily. Verily, verily, what does that tell us in Scripture? He's about ready to reveal some good truth. That means open your eyes, open your ears, and listen up. Open your heart, because God's going to speak some truth right now. Verily, verily. I'm about to give you some truth. So listen, this is super important. He says, verily, verily, I said to you that ye shall weep and lament. So far, that's no help to me. Of course I am. We already are. Yeah, trials are going to come, folks. There's going to be difficulties. Ye shall weep and lament. But the world shall rejoice. You know, they're going to be fine with it. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Number two, our trials. The truth about our trials is our trials will be overcome with joy. Our trials will be overcome with joy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord that there's going to be joy at the end. Right now, you're looking through it and you're trying to say, where is the end going to come? When is it going to come? I cannot see it. And the disciples are right there. God, we don't understand. We don't understand what you're trying to show us, what you're trying to get us to look at. And Jesus comes to them. This is the heart of Christ. He says, you don't know all the details. And yes, you're going to go through struggles. But there is the end of the tunnel. And in the end, there's going to be joy. Now, what didn't the disciples understand? They're hearing about Jesus' death. What do we know? And what would they learn through the Holy Spirit? And as they witnessed it and watched it, and the Holy Spirit then bearing witness, and when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, what would they come to know? And what would come to bring them joy? Well, they knew that when Jesus rose, that there was triumph over death. They would learn that there's triumph over the grave. They would learn that there's victory over sin. They would come to learn that they could have eternal life and they could have salvation through Jesus Christ. You see, they would have joy. Could they see it now? They couldn't. They did not understand all this right now. They did not know what was coming to them. Jesus knew, but he reassures them. He assures them right now. He says, listen, you are going to go through difficulties, but I want to tell you, I have, and I am going to the cross, and I will be victorious, and there will be joy in the morning. Folks, you're going through trials and struggles, but I want to tell you, there's joy in the morning. God can and will bring joy in the morning. We've got to go through difficulties. That's part of life. But they would see. They would see. They would see through the Holy Spirit. They would see the risen Savior. I want you to think back to different trials that you've had in your lives a long time ago. and how they seem so big. Did you get through? Did God pull you through? He did. Some of those things you can look back now and maybe you'd laugh, but you look back and say, why did I think it was such a big deal? Does that mean that it wasn't a big deal when you were going through it? No, it was a big deal. I remember when I was little, I was a youngster that was scared to death of the dark. I didn't like the dark. It overwhelmed me. It overcame me. I look at that now and I say, the dark's not so big of a deal. But does that mean to a little one that's afraid of the dark, does it mean it's not a big deal? No. But Jesus says there's light at the end of the darkness. You know, when I grew up a little bit further and you got into school and went into college, I remember there were times in college and I said, I don't know how I can make it through. I don't know how I can pass these tests and do all my studies, you know. And I look and I remember feeling like I was in a hole that I could never get out of. I honestly felt like I can't do this. And as a postgraduate, I can look back and I say, you know, that trial of going through that class seems pretty small right now. But you know what? Going through it was a big deal. And now as an adult, you go through different trials and struggles and you can say, there's no way out and there is no hope and this is the worst thing. But yet I'll tell you, someday you'll be able to look back and smile and say, wasn't God good? And we will be able to experience that joy that comes after the trial. Looks, after every rain, there's a rainbow. God is good. God is good. We need to trust Him. Jesus gives them an illustration of this very thing in verse 21. I love that Jesus likes to make connections with people. Notice he says in verse 21, a woman, when she is in travail, that means she's carrying a child, hath sorrow. Now, we can stop here and say, there's a wide variety of trials that ladies have when they're carrying a child. Some, it's a difficult thing. Some, boy, it's like the greatest time in life, and it's great. But no matter what, the difficulty in bearing that child and delivering that child is a difficult thing. I say that not through experience of my own self, but through the experience of my own wife. Nevertheless, it's a difficult procedure. It's a difficult process. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And it is so true. It's so true. A mother goes through that 9 months, and for some mothers, not all, but for some mothers, it's a difficult process. 9 months, it's difficult and it's hard, and there's the sickness, and there's all this, and there's a change in your body, and all of this you go through. And then the climax, when the mother has no more energy at all and feels like she can't do anything else, now she's got to deliver a baby. I tell you what, we have five children. Every one of those five, you know, I thought in my own self, how is she going to do that? She doesn't have the strength to do that. In fact, with this last one, with Nehemiah, Melissa was sick all 9 months, and the thought of me, she didn't have a strand of energy left in her body. And I was really nervous. I said, how is my wife going to have the strength and the energy that it takes to just deliver a child? So there was all that 9 months, and then that time of that delivery, and then that child came. And it was as if those 9 months and those few hours or whatever it was to deliver that child goes away. And there he or she is. And it wasn't so bad after all. Now, that's what happens in our physical lives. Now, some of you men cannot relate, maybe. Some of you ladies that have had children, you can relate. And you say, wow, look at this precious child. And now, that was the greatest thing that could ever happen to a mother, you know, to have this baby. And a few hours ago, you would have said, this is the worst thing that could ever happen to a lady, right? But you see, joy cometh. Joy cometh. And Jesus gives this illustration. You see, there's always light at the end of our difficulties. For forgiveness. Psalm chapter 30 and verse 5. For his anger endureth for a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Folks, I'm thankful for forgiveness. We're going through sin and struggles, and we need to get it right. But I'll tell you what, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive. I want to tell you something. You don't have to be miserable in your sin for long. There's forgiveness. When there's sadness, Psalm 30:11 says, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord and inclined. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. We can count on that light for forgiveness. We can count on that light in our sadness. We can count on that light in persecution. Acts 5:41, and these are the people that were being persecuted, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. In our sin, in our sadness, in our persecution, in our trials. Romans 5, verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing also that tribulation worketh patience. You see, there's light at the end of our sin, our sadness, our persecution, our trials. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Peter says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye're in heaviness, though through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found to the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. 1 Peter 1:6, 7 and 8. God knows our trials. Jesus knew their trials. Our trials will be overcome with joy. And number three, our promise during trials of the Savior. Do you know, folks, that Jesus is the answer to your trials, nothing else? Jesus. Notice what he says in verse 22. He gives the illustration in verse 21. And then he says, and ye know therefore, having sorrow, and ye now therefore having sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. The answer to their trial, he says, I will see you again. I will see you again. I'm coming back again. I will see you again. The final answer that Jesus gives, it's an alternative to their trials. It's a solution to their trials. And that solution is Jesus. Jesus is the answer to our struggles, our trials, our persecutions, our temptations. You see, he's the Savior. He's the Deliverer. In him we have salvation. He says, I will see you again. He's the overcomer. He can overcome the difficulties that you're going through in your life. His presence after the resurrection to these disciples was the symbol of that victory. And folks, we have the resurrection. Jesus is not on the cross anymore. He's risen. There's hope. We will be delivered from our struggles and our trials, our lives. We will. We'll be delivered. There is victory in Jesus. He says, I will see you again. He would see to their deliverance. Folks, it's a promise. It's a promise. He is and he has overcome because he's the overcomer. And we need to pray and expect. Like David did when he was in the middle of his trial, Psalm 61 verses 1 and 2. He says, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Folks, run to Jesus. Trust in Jesus. He will come again. He will come again. Father, I thank you for your good word that helps us through difficulties. That you give us the truth of our trials. We get so focused in the winds and the waves of the sea. And we forget to set our minds and focus them on Jesus Christ, who is the answer. The answer to Peter's trials on the sea and our trials in life. God, the fact of the matter is we're going to have trials, but you know our trials. You know them. You have joy at the end of our trials. You are going to come again. You are the answer to our trials. God, would you help us to look to you? Lord, we need you. We need you. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. Rich in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.